Welcome to the Pactum with some compromise. No, welcome to the Pactum with no compromise. This is Pat Abendroth with Mike Grimes. We are, This is Pat Abendroth with Mike Abendroth because it's no compromise radio. Mike, ready to have some fun?
Do you know what? It's good to be here today, Pat. You said some compromise radio. Now, but I'd prefer the new name of No Compromise Radio. It's called No Content Radio.
Okay.
We still get the no-co. Because otherwise it would be so-co.
So, no-co. What's all the background noise? What's going on? What are you doing?
Well, it is February something. It's a Monday, February 25th, maybe?
I've lost track.
Sorry. And we are in downtown Jerusalem.
On the west side, the good side.
Super fancy. And so if you've got cars... it's 65 degrees, a little hazy. It's been great weather. We're here leading a tour together. Omaha Bible Church, Bethlehem Bible Church, 45 people. See the sights.
Having a great time.
So the Bible has finally come alive to
me. Which is something we try not to say to people, right? We say, you'll read the Bible like you never have before.
It would be good.
Yeah, but it's been alive.
You know, one of the things that I appreciated was yesterday, you're going from Jericho area up to Jerusalem, right? And sometimes you can be going from north to south, and you're going up to, because it's more elevated,
right?
Right, and so that part, you can, if you know geography and archaeology and stuff like that, I think it probably helps you get the layout better. But I'll leave the Holy Spirit, I'll let Him help us understand the Bible better.
So we're going home in a few days, so we figured we would record a little bit and get a little inspiration from the cars, the motorcycles.
Inspiration tours. I think they're like...
Sirens. I saw someone today that said something like that. Well, what we want to talk about on this episode is we want to talk about traveling to Israel. Not because we're selling anything. We don't have any Jesus junk to sell.
Let's play this as a rerun in 2 years before we take the next...
And see what it's like. So, because you learn so much, there's so many interesting things. People want to go to Israel maybe sometime in their lifetime. Seems like it would be an interesting thing to do, to talk about what it's like to travel to Israel, what's good about the tour guide, what's bad about a tour guide, favorite parts, things to see, worst parts. Little insight.
I like that. It makes a good show.
And even if people aren't ever going to come to Israel, my sense is they're still going to enjoy what we have to say because... it's enjoyable.
Well, since Mike Grimes isn't here, it is an Abendroth, I'll try to offer more to Steve seeing who was Gatling's quotes.
This is going to be good. Yeah. I think you should saddle up your horses, and we'll just move.
Some frosting horses.
It's true. And we did go to the grocery store today next door, so we got some.
I bought things today that I couldn't even read the label, and you had Google Translate. You just need the camera.
Oh, there he is. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you got some drink with mint in it.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, wow, we didn't know it had mint.
And we might have a sound tech, a sound engineer / security guard with us on the balcony.
I knew what he's behind me. He's scared.
He's got your back. We won't say who.
I bet.
We won't say who it is, Patrick Innes, but he's here with us. Last time we went to Ben Yehuda Street, that was kind of cool.
I thought the whole time his name was Patrick Gambus.
Speaking of Ben Yehuda Street, which is kind of a modern, you know, it's New Israel, but it's not the Israel from, it's the New Jerusalem, but not the Jerusalem from above. A new city in the old city. So with that in mind, best shawarma ever?
I think it's right up there. I mean, I don't know the place that you go to in San Diego, Pat, and how she goes right out there.
Shawarma guys in San Diego, but this is like legit because it's Jerusalem.
Well, and you can bribe him a little bit. Hey, we're bringing 17 people.
Okay, so here's what happened last night when we went. So we got like 17 people in line. I'm first trying to show people how to do it. You get the laffa bread, not the pita, and you get the amba sauce and the whole thing, trying to play tour guide. And I said, you know, I brought all these people here. I brought them here, you know, from America, thinking maybe he'd give me a little something. No, Mike gets up there and says, I brought all these people here. How about giving me something free? And they did. They totally did.
Well, I, as an older brother, in all seriousness, I've watched you learn and grow and really proud of you. And once in a while, the Lord just gives you one of those little
Don't forget I'm your big brother. You outdid.
Because they're few and far between.
You outdid me for shawarma, for sure.
Ask me what my favorite thing so far is.
Favorite? Oh, how about if I ask you, what's your favorite thing in Israel so far, other than recording shows for the Pactum and
this is
no
fun
compromise?
Like this, I'm having a lot of fun. I so far think maybe, Pat, while Sea of Galilee's up there, while understanding geography and how far it would take Jesus to walk to Bethany to see Lazarus and all that, right now I'm still loving that Pontius Pilate stone that they uncovered at Caesarea by the sea, and it's in Latin, and so they didn't have any archaeological evidence for hundreds of years about Pontius Pilate, and they find this artifact. It says Pontius Pilate, and we saw the fake one in Caesarea Philippi.
We've seen that many times. We've done this. Hello.
And we saw the original one in the Israel Museum today.
First time. That was cool.
You know, back to what we talked about before, theology drives you to be a good historian. If you want to do theology, you've got to know history, like Machen said. Because, to quote Pat Avedroth, this is at Narnia. This is a real place. Jesus was a historical person. Yes, he's more than a man. He's the God-man. I understand that. But he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. And you've got the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and it ties it right in. So I just love that Pontius Pilate stone. I touched it. I kind of got the anointing a little bit. I didn't have to sleep that night. It just brought me over.
So, you know, I got a phone call from Josiah. He just walked through Hezekiah's tunnel with your wife, Kim. And so I had to step away because, you know, when you're traveling and your son calls, I got to answer the phone. And so I did not see the real stone today in the museum. And so I asked Lisa on our trip, I said, when are we going to see the stone? She said, oh, we already did. And I said, well, I didn't see it. So can I say I saw it, you know, since I was here? And I said, no, I'll say I've been to the place where the real one is.
Oh, okay, perfect. But then later on the way out, I was able to touch it.
Then I told him the story when there was a famous evangelical preaching at our church. And I told him the story about when you and I were at Princeton, where we saw the holdings and they had the rod of orthodoxy and the special, it wasn't made out of bone, it was made out of ivory.
Ivory, to
remember?
Yes.
Archibald Alexander, Princeton Seminary, is on his deathbed. He symbolically passed it as the rod of orthodoxy to Charles Hodge. And so that evangelical was preaching in Omaha Bible Church one time, and I told him the story. And then he preached at a seminary like the next week and told the story, but pretended like he'd seen it.
Well, so you can do the same thing with the Pontius Pilate stone. I think actually Charles Hodge then named his son Amy Hodge.
I think you're right.
Paul Alexander Hodge.
Yeah. Now, to confess, I told that person the story today because I like to shatter people's dreams of their favorite celebrity pastors being sinless.
I know. And you know, here's the good thing, Pat. The 45 people in the bus in our Omaha Bible Bethlehem.
They know that we're not sinless.
Right now. Do not worship the Avedroth brothers.
You heard it here for sure. Okay, let's talk about the benefits. Benefits of touring Israel. What's good about it? We make fun of people saying it makes the Bible come alive because the Bible is alive by the Spirit of God in our hearts. But what are the benefits?
Well, I think I just will start big picture, Pat. Just to go overseas anywhere, if you go outside of the country anywhere,
perfect.
It can make you thankful for your home country because, you know, America's not perfect. It can make you understand other cultures and you think, oh, what does Israel do? And what about the Middle East conflicts? What about Vietnam? What about the food? What about the money? What about the culture? So I think travel anywhere is beneficial.
That's good.
Specifically Israel.
Or even how about the Middle East? We're so safe here. I don't know where else we could feel this safe in the Middle East. And there's something cool about the Middle East.
That is so true. People are always afraid when Israel trip is getting closer and they hear about some bombs on the West Bank or Syria or Lebanon. And Pat, I always say, don't worry about it. Every hotel has a bunker. And this one does too.
I've been to at least one hotel in Israel where, you know, the guy, the security guard in the front, has got like some kind of oozing. It's tough. It's edgy. I kind of like it. I like it. I like the geography as well. I think I cheated my way through any kind of geography class growing up. I'm just lazy and dumb. I wish I wouldn't have. But now I care about geography, and I care about the geography of Israel. It's so cool.
I think every day we probably average between 10,000 and 20,000 steps per day walking. And we've had buses taking us around, too.
Right.
And it helps me being here in Israel to say, oh, there's Bethany, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were there. Jesus walked over. Our Jesus is on the Mount of Olives, and he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and Kidron Valley and Jerusalem steps, and around we go. Just, are you walking? There's a Capernaum. How far of a walk is from here to Capernaum? He had to go through Samaria. That part really is good for me to understand how far they had to walk.
In some ways, it seems like everything's closer than I thought. And then the next minute, it's the opposite. It seems like everything's further away than I thought.
What did he keep telling us? New Jersey is that Israel's the size of New Jersey.
Yep.
We should make a pilgrimage across New Jersey. We could land at the priesthood. We could touch the rod of orthodoxy and call a celebrity Christian pastor, tell him the story, and call him out.
Oh, my. If you're just starting, if you're just tuning in, Mike Abendroth with Pat Abendroth. We have a bodyguard. And we are on the fifth floor of a building in Israel. So if you hear the traffic, it's because we're recording outside. We're doing an episode on Israel and traveling to Israel. What's good about it? What's bad about it?
And I also love the Sea of Galilee. And maybe one of the reasons why I like the Sea of Galilee is the Roman Catholic Church can't build a cathedral or monument or church or building.
It's peaceful till you get on the evangelical boat where they want to. I heard somebody, they were lip-syncing El Shaddai or something. The boat captain, right?
Who did I listen to? I think maybe it was Daniel Block. He said, I know 13 languages. When people sing that, I think Amy Grant's song, or Michael W. Smith, El Shaddai, Yerpirit Anam Anadai. Said, I don't have any idea what that is. It's not any Semitic language at all in that Yerpirit common thing. We go to Sea of Galilee. It's neat because you can see, okay, 13 miles long, 6 miles wide, Hermon, wind, choppy, how long would it take to row across, etc. But what was that whole thing where I saw you like got some of the water and you were gargling?
Well, you know, I had a little bit of an upset stomach, and I looked it up on the internet and said something about, I don't know, some Franciscan brother, father, Rabbi so-and-so said, you know, you can just consume 8 ounces and it'll cure all of your ailments.
Hey, well, I had enough sense to do the same thing, but I used a life straw.
Okay. I actually brought a life straw on the trip because, you know, you never know.
Okay. There's that. This is a legit question. This is, you know, we're joking around. We're having fun. Sleep deprived.
People drinking Diet 7-Up. So?
Yeah, Diet Sprite, I think, maybe.
I've got Diet 7-Up. You have Diet Sprite.
Diet Sprite. We grew up drinking Tab, remember, at home, Fresco.
Mom would go to Weight Watchers, so we had...
Yeah, we did.
Weight Watcher colas.
Uh-huh.
Or I would go with Mom when she was little. She had Tab or Fresca. They were both pretty bad.
Remember that?
Why are we talking about that?
Mom let us eat 3 ice cream cones up in Yankton, South Dakota. I'll never forget that.
And why do we have an addictive personality?
Okay.
So
traveling to Israel.
People would like to be holy. They would like to say no to sin and yes to righteousness, to use technical language. Mortification and vivification. But instead of union with Christ and other things and walking by faith, what's in a person, a real Christian even, Pat, who has to touch an icon, kiss the natal star of Jesus, but do something, pour some holy oil on their head, little dabble do you prell on their armpits? I mean, what is it?
Okay, let's think about it from the most positive side. There's something in us that longs for a solution, right? We know we have a problem, so people try all of these things. So I think that's built in because we know we're broken. Maybe we long for the real. I don't think that's altogether bad. And yet the reality is Jesus left. He ascended. He's not here, but he left us with the Holy Spirit, so that's good. But I think the question is, what's most real? What's most real? Well, there was a real Jesus, the eternal Son, before there was ever a temple in Jerusalem. So the reality is that the dwelling of God came down in a unique way, but it was a type, it's a shadow. So there's that, and we want to go back to the types and shadows, I think, because we're sinners. I'm just rambling, trying to think it through, but we have to remember that in Hebrews chapter 2, Jesus talks about how he's in the midst of the congregation, right? He is there uniquely when his people gather through the power of the Spirit. That's more real than anything at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, anything, any kind of Jesus junk, any kind of slab where Jesus, we know the ascension happened here because we have Jesus' footprint, because that's a thing. I don't know why it is and what it is, but we get confused. We're shadow huggers.
It's so true. Our guide, thankfully, though, has said things like, this is the general area, right? This is the Mount of Olives. You don't know exactly where Jesus did this, that, or the other. I think of S.O.S. Johnson, Pat, when he would talk about the ordinate involves temple ornaments, blue pomegranates, all these things, and how Roman Catholic Church seems to do the same thing. When it's not faith alone, when it's not ordinary means of grace, when it's not paper, i.e. Bible, wine and bread for communion and water for baptism, when you forget the ordinary means of preaching and sacraments, then what else will do? Vacuums must be filled. And I think people underestimate what worship is on a Lord's Day Sunday, right? We don't feel different. We don't sense the presence of God. He's not somehow, giving us something going on in our bosom, but there's a supernatural happening when it comes to Lord's Day worship.
Absolutely.
With Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. I love the Sinclair Ferguson story, or the story that he tells about, a first century early church in Jerusalem, and the temptation would have been to go back. Is they didn't have anything. They didn't have the smells and bells. They didn't have the sacrifices. They could hear the singing. And what do they have? It's some kind of flat. Some other Christians.
Persecuted,
singing some songs maybe, and reading some scriptures and somebody preaching. That's all they had. And when you read the book of Hebrews like that, thinking with that in mind, it helps you. Because we're not like the Catholic Church with all the stuff and the smells and the bells, and it could be tempting to say, I need something real, I need something tangible, when in reality, we have what's most real of all, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ himself by the power of the Spirit. We've got it all wrong when we're looking for the stuff as more important than the Spirit.
Exactly right. And I think that helps for the Israel trip people to say, that's not Christianity. All these different people we see around here, the religious people, whether they're Jewish or Christian, Orthodox, they're all clamoring for these holy sites and things they can buy and special olive wood and everything else. Obviously, if you want to buy a souvenir or a trinket, fine. But that's not Christianity. What is Christianity? And I'm glad you brought up the Ferguson story. I mean, can you imagine after seeing the temple with the gold and the marble and the big lavers and the trumpeting and the smells? And then now I'm on the run getting persecuted for this Jesus that I'm believing in. But once you have Jesus, you have everything.
You do.
With Christ.
You have nothing as far as all of those other things, but you have everything because you have Jesus the Son, atonement, once for all sacrifice. I love Hebrews for that reason.
What's your favorite part so far?
My favorite part so far, I think Caesarea, or as they say, Caesarea by the sea. Because of the Pontius Pilate stone, because of, I love the ocean, I love the sea, that's cool. That's probably most fascinating to me, knowing Peter was there preaching to Cornelius, kind of the Gentile day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 10 and around there. I love that. I also love the people that we're with in the sense that it's so fun to share something you love and you've experienced that you know fairly well with other people because you know they're loving it. You know, it's helping them to make more sense of things. So that's pretty fun.
Yeah, I like to watch the faces of people. And all of a sudden, you go over the hill, and there's Jerusalem. Or you're descending from Dan, and there's the Sea of Galilee.
Uh-huh.
People getting in the boat. And we had a neat experience this time. Instead of going on the little boat to the Sea of Galilee center and, doing a circle or something, we went all the way across. And it made me think, we had an engine. It took a long time to get across. Mm-hmm. The disciples whether they had sales or whether they're growing and or both, how long it takes to get across there. And I'm starting thinking about the watches and everything else. And you did a good job by bribing the...
I don't think we talk about bribing on the Pactum.
Okay. What I meant by bribing was, it was an ancient Hebrew word.
That's right.
That talked about just giving out somebody a tip.
We showed our gratitude.
Yes, it was a tip. It was just a thanks.
Okay,
Play your music, and I don't want to hear Stephen Chip Curtis Chapman. It was driving me crazy.
I think also another favorite part was Capernaum. I love going to Capernaum because you have the first century synagogue floor, original. They built on top of it, but that's pretty cool to think. And that's where Jesus actually taught. So I think that's pretty cool.
You know what I did not do, but I always tell people I'm going to do? I can't believe I forgot that. I'd love to go to the Sea of Galilee and skip a rock. Because
you think Jesus did when he was a boy?
My Jesus
skipped a rock. It would have been a perfect skip.
Oh,
I wonder how many. What it would have been 7 skips, right? Because number for perfection.
That's exactly right. But you know, maybe it could have been 40 skips.
Okay.
Yeah. Seeing the desert, we think of oasis. I mean, like Sierra Desert. Seeing what the desert's like here, the wilderness, rather.
Yes.
I like that. And thinking Jesus, 40 days. What do you do out there for 40 days, tempted by Satan? I like that. You kind of get a good idea of what's going on. Seeing the path from Jericho to Jerusalem, that 18-mile treacherous path that's a good backdrop for the Good Samaritan parable. I like that a lot.
I also really enjoy the fact that we've been coming along enough. We've done this enough times. There are new discoveries, right? They've come up with things. They've discovered things that they hadn't discovered in 2008 when we were here, for example. So we saw Magdala. Well, Magdala, they knew roughly where it was, but it wasn't uncovered.
Right.
And then more stuff in Magdala was uncovered since the last time we were.
Well, I think somebody had a vision. They told him to start digging in Magdala. The guy said, okay, I have to obey the vision of God. I'm a friar. I must obey. All those stories. Can you imagine the stories behind it all? What does it make you think, Pat, when you see...
Oh, look, there's Bibi Netanyahu. Oh, wait a second. It wasn't really him. But we are staying close to his house.
West Jerusalem. Without Jewish people. Obviously, we've seen Jewish people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It confirms in my mind his scriptures. I don't need the confirmation visually because I'll just believe the scriptures. But there is a veil put over their eyes. They cannot see the glory of Christ. And they walk around doing what? I don't know. But it is professing to be godly, but denying the power. Don't you learn that?
It certainly seems to be the case. And you even have to fight some of the animosity you might feel toward them for certain things and behaviors and being obnoxious. So you have to fight that because you want to be compassionate and kind and merciful. But it's not that they're not believing because of lack of evidence, lack of historicity, lack of even what the Bible says. Even today, we heard it from our guide, who is Jewish, Russian Jewish. He said, you know, it's not that they study the scriptures. Now, maybe he was wrong, but he said that they generally don't study the scriptures. It's a commentary on a commentary on a commentary on a commentary. And when they do actually read Isaiah 53, he said, they can't believe it's actually in the Bible. Thought that was kind of interesting. So
true.
So as an aside, I was just joking about Bibi Netanyahu, since we are staying close to his house. I just listened to his autobiography, and he said something to the effect that he used to be concerned about all of the evangelical, like preachers and people like that in America and coming to Israel, because he was suspicious, thinking that they would try to convert and proselytize the Jews. And he said, I'm no longer worried about that. He said, I love them and I welcome them. Because now I know that the evangelical Christian pastors are not trying to proselytize or convert to Jews. They're trying to proselytize and convert other Christians into becoming Zionists. How about that?
Well, you could probably see how that happens here. big time.
How terrible is that? What an indictment that we don't evangelize the Jews. We just try to get other Christians to support Zionism.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a mirror thing that in the U.S. with this Christian nationalism. I mean, what's the difference? Do you go evangelize in America unbelievers, or do you go proselytize believers to try to get them to be theonomic Christian nationalists?
Or even unbelievers, right?
Right.
It's a sad state of affairs. So worst parts, favorite parts, you know, geography, culture, Middle East, traveling around, seeing how things connect.
Well, the flight was rough.
I'll say amen to that. That's a tough cookie.
I mean, I won't tell you what airline we were on, but I think the only beverage service was, here's a bottle of water, get up and you can go to the back and get something else if you want. On a 10-hour flight.
I think it's going to be 12 on the way home, just so you know.
The food, well, I'm going through Rome.
Oh, you're going on a vacation with your wife, unlike the rest of us underlings.
I need to go kiss some more icons.
Okay.
And go talk to the Pope. This is not enough.
Because you can buy indulgences at the Vatican. I know, yes. I've been there.
Oh, there's a place in New York City, St. Patrick's Cathedral, Pat, and you could go put your credit card
in. I've been there with you.
Yeah, and it's just, we went together. And it's just a $50 deal. You put it in, put it out, it's $50 that goes to, I don't know, whoever St. Patrick's leaders are.
Security was pretty impressive from that airline, Mel, with a big police attack vehicle parked out front, just to flex.
Interviewed us for 20 minutes.
20, 25 minutes each. It was the final straw for me, I don't know about you and your line, was going to Jordan. Who do you know in Jordan? All this kind of stuff. But,
well, you gave all your folks the pact of bottle.
It's true.
They thought maybe there was something in every one of those bottles distributed equally.
I was nervous because they say made in China. Well, maybe there was some kind of...
Oh, Wirth has said made in Jordan.
Some special sauce on there.
I didn't like that flight, but you know what? It's over.
Yeah, hey, whatever. Flight's hard, but it's doable. And being tired, you know, jet lag, adjusting. But our group has been great. Nobody's
been too crabby or grumpy or anything. No, is there any negative downside? I don't think so. We went up to see the gate where Abraham could have walked through. And I think, you know what, for a long flight and some minor inconveniences with traffic, because the traffic is bad here, right? And people are kind of rude and obnoxious. I mean, in America, here's what we tend to do. Now, this is a generalization, but we say, excuse me, right? It's kind of nice. In Spanish, con permiso, perdóname. And then in Arabic, it's Zeus, get out of my way. And just bumping into us, and then these different cultures and people from other places. Just, you know, if you give 1 foot of space in front of you, they'll take over. If you're a tour guide, you know, Patrick is sitting there, tour guide pushing him over. I was wondering what that headlock Patrick was doing on that lady tour guide in Sweden. I mean, that was interesting. No, tapped out.
So if people are going to come to Israel, there are pitfalls they need to avoid. They need to be cautious about the kind of guide they get, because there are Catholic guides and Jewish guides and Protestant guides. And do some research, do some due diligence.
Good.
Talk to your friends. Who are they? Use things like that. We've got a great guide this time. He's doing a great job. What are some other pitfalls maybe to avoid if somebody's going to come to Israel and schedule a trip?
Well, I probably wouldn't do it during the summer because it's probably going to be too hot. I probably schedule some free time, right? If you're packed too much and you never have any time off, you go longer
off and do it too long. Good.
With this, Gwen, with the tour, you just have to defer. There's 45, 50 people, and if you're not the leader, you're not in charge. You just have to go along. So just be ready to do that. Maybe you want to stay a few extra days and maybe rent a car or something like that. That might be a good thing to do. But so far, I mean, going up Masada, going down to the Dead Sea in Sodi. Tell me about your Dead Sea experience. What'd you think of that?
I think the Dead Sea is okay. It's fun. It's different. But I like just watching people's faces, trying to help them figure out how to do it. So my son Josiah's with us, so it's fun to watch him do it. It's beautiful.
I can't think of anything in the Bible about the Dead Sea. What's it? Maybe
the Salt Sea, you know, things like that. Okay. And there's prophetic passage about basically it being healed, something along those lines. So...
Okay. How about Megiddo? Does it like Megiddo, the tell Megiddo?
I'm so tired right now. I don't even remember what happened to the ghetto. I like the Solomon Stables and those things. I think, isn't that in the ghetto down in there?
It is.
That's fascinating. Solomon's idolatry was horrific, but he was an evil, wicked man in a lot of ways.
Oh, I know what would be a good question, because I know you've got the answer. Give us a couple books to read before we go to Israel.
Oh, actually, I don't know the name of the book, but that little book that you recommended to me, actually.
Lands of the Bible.
Lands of the Bible is a newer one that was outstanding. I gave everyone a copy of that. It's simple to the point. I like that a lot.
What's the old Palmer Robinson?
He's got
logical late.
Yeah, the different views of the land.
And that book that were outstanding.
So you're asking me questions I don't know the answer to, so that's okay because we're tired in Israel on location.
What are we not going to do next time that we did this time?
Not going to do next time? I think next time we're going to go to a lot and we're going to go snorkeling.
Okay.
We would like that a lot.
You said we weren't going to do any Cromwell, but I think we should do the summer from over here. Let's design a trip
where we're going to mountain bike for a couple days, bike from Jericho, maybe some hiking. Mountain biking, hiking.
Some big hiking trips.
Snorkeling.
Swampling in a lot. A surf day in Tel Aviv.
Okay.
Paddle boarding on the Sea of Galilee. And then some biblical sites, too.
I think that might have to be for our graduates or something like that. Right? Alumni. It's the alumni trip for the... It's the... What can we call it? I don't know. Maybe we should shoot guns, too. That'd be kind of fun.
Okay. Excellent. Have you eaten a lot of fish for breakfast?
I've been avoiding the fish for breakfast, but I've been having Mediterranean salad with feta cheese on.
Okay, well, in honor of our mother, I've been having fish every morning for breakfast. But now all the fish breakfast have seen the sea. It's just the Swedish, what do they call the Swedish fish?
I don't know.
On a pickled herring.
I thought it was a candy. Swedish fish.
Swedish fish. Well, I think we maybe have done better shows in our life.
I think maybe we have.
We have to fill the podcast leech.
Because minds want...
Give.
It's true. Inquisitive minds want to know. Yeah, do the Israel trip. It's great. It's awesome. Different culture. Great travel. Just be very, very picky about who your tour guide is, and you'll have a better trip that way.
All right. Well, from the Holy Land... From the pilgrimage.
The typological Holy Land.
Uh-huh. Oh, I guess we could say this, maybe try to redeem it. I'm preaching to Colossians, Pat, and it's talking about types and shadows. And it's talking about why go back to the shadow.
Because Christian nationalism.
I know. And the word shadow can mean what we think of as shadow. The sun hits you and your body blocks some of the sun on the sidewalk is your shadow. But it also can mean tracing or outlining.
Okay.
So I come to Israel and I think all these types and shadows and tracings, they've been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So why go back to don't handle, don't touch, don't taste kosher food, this, that?
You're talking about my favorite thing.
Yeah, and so I think it was maybe B.B. Warfield that said, in the Old Testament, there were all these things that talked and pointed to talked about and pointed to the Lord Jesus, but the light was dim. And now that we have the New Testament, we read the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament and say, oh, that's amazing. The light's on. There's no new furniture. There's no new couch. There's no new table. They've always been there, but now we see what they are in light of the New Testament.
And now we look at the real thing, not the shadows.
Right. So to redeem our show today, tell our listeners, Pat, why it's important to read the Old Testament in light of the New, so we don't have this kind of problem.
Because we have one divine author who intentionally designed it that way. So in anticipation, we have the types and shadows, and the fulfillment, the substance, belongs to Christ. So we come to Israel, do an Israel tour, and have it be a historical tour. You're learning about the types and shadows, really, is what you're doing a lot of the time. But the substance belongs to Christ, who lived here, yes, who died here, yes, was raised here, yes, ascended from here, yes. But what we're not trying to do is, hey, let's study all this stuff so we can bring it back again. Because we don't believe in regressive revelation, we believe in progressive revelation. So it's wonderful to come to Israel not because we're promoting Zionism, because or not, we come to Israel to say, here's where Jesus did it. Here's where Jesus showed himself to be the substance. And therefore, let's look to him. He's ascended, and we're waiting for his return.
Miga, make Israel great again.
There you go. There you go. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the episode. We're glad you do listen to No Compromise and to the Pactum. And so we'll see you next time on No Compromise Pactum. Amen.